This week, I'm coming to you live from the August Wilson Room of the Goodman Theater here in Chicago, where I'm in rehearsal for my fourth year of A Christmas Carol at the Goodman Theater, which brings to mind our recording of A Little Dickens, which was our audio version of A Christmas Carol that was part of our reduced Christmas Carol radio show 30 years ago this year in 1995. Joining me here are my co-collaborators on that immortal Public Radio International recording, Reed Martin, Matt Croak. Gentlemen, are you in the festive spirits?
I'm just glad I can bring this voice out after 30 years.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 20th year, number 992, Remembering Little Dickens.
The year up at the North Pole, but now it's Christmas Eve and it is time to rock and roll. The elves are busy making toys, the order's pretty large, and everybody cowers from the person who's in charge. Mrs. Santa Claus,
Mrs. Santa Claus,
Mrs. Santa Claus,
Mrs. Santa,
when
Claus.
He's away there's hell to pay. Mrs. Santa Claus, she marches.
1995 was a big year. A few weeks ago, Matt Croak, Reed Martin, and I remembered the creation of the third Reduced Shakespeare Company show, The Bible, the Complete Word of God Abridged. And this week, Matt, Reed, and I look back on the creation of our second radio production, The Reduced Shakespeare Company Christmas, which we wrote and performed for Public Radio International with Adam Long. Reed, Matt, and I hopped on Zoom a few weeks ago, and Reed started our conversation by correcting my horrible memory.
Wasn't it called the Reduced Shakespeare Company Christmas? Wasn't that the name of the radio show? I think it was.
I think that sounds very right. Would it kill me to do some research before I turn the microphone on? No, apparently it would.
Well, I listened to the whole thing yesterday as I was driving to work, which I hadn't. It'd been a very long time. And Definitely stuff in there that I'd forgotten about.
Well, and I've listened to A Little Dickens several times because I posted it separately as its own podcast a couple of years ago. And it's available on our website now, the whole recording. But I haven't listened to the whole thing, and I really should. But the one thing I do remember, and Matt Croak, speaking of that little Timmy voice that you were doing there, or that tiny Timmy voice.
Tiny Tim voice, yeah.
That you were doing there is how is your accent work now today? Has it improved over the years?
I'm working on my Australian accent, and then I can move right into Spanish, and as you can see, into Japanese. So my accents are very, very good. I threw three languages at you. I didn't even. Amazing, isn't it?
And you're right. We couldn't tell. You're right. Couldn't tell. Absolutely.
The thing that you did, Crook, that cracked me up, and we went back to it three or four times in the show, was, it's all music all the time. It's rock. Fine. We don't talk. And then you just go on and on, and we never hear any music. And we
well, it's funny because that joke, and I don't listen to much regular radio anymore. It's all XM and podcasts, but that's still... I still hear it where they're bragging about how they play music. And I go, and yet I'm hearing you talk. And that's where it came from. Music all day, all night. WFYN. We don't talk over your music. No, sir. We light it up and lay it down 24 hours a day. So get your ears prepared. Get your eyes. It's like, oh my gosh, play the song. So that's where it came from.
The other thing you did, Matt, was, and this is just an inside joke for you and me and Ringling Clowns. At one point, you go, save the baby. And that's a line from the Firehouse Gag that we did at Ringling on the circus. And I think of Frosty Little, who was the master clown, who was our instructor. But you must have gotten it from that, right?
I didn't even do the fire gag, but. Oh. But when you do Frosty Little, that's what you say. Save the baby. It was almost like Frosty Little. And I think listening to it, what I enjoy most, obviously more inside baseball, is we overlaid. So we would listen to the recording and then we would overlay the background and all the aunts and uncles and all the voices. And we did that three or four times to create more and more people. I had probably as much fun with all the background noise and all the background chatter that are either real conversations or complete callbacks to circus days, you know, Bugs Bunny, whatever we liked. Those are all the conversations in the background. And I find those amusing to myself.
That was a very fun part of this whole thing, is that there was a party going on. This whole event, the whole recording took place at our annual Reduced Shakespeare Company Christmas party in our HQ in Sonoma, California. So we had done all the basic things, and then we had to go back and lay down the sounds of that party. And you're right, those conversations in the background were really ridiculous and fun.
For my girls, when they were listening to it, they enjoyed that as well, because they're like, all of that's all three of you? I'm like, sure. Like, it was, they get a big kick out of it. I still think there's some good stuff in there.
As we get ready to do the Christmas show again, I'd forgotten that two of the songs from this radio piece ended up in our ultimate Christmas show abridged, the All-in-One Christmas Carol and Mrs. Santa Claus.
That's right. And I had such hopes for Mrs. Santa Claus as a sort of novelty hit. I think it got like two or three airplays on Dr. Demento, and because of popular demand, it was never heard again.
Yeah, that Dr. Demento thing was interesting. For those who know Dr. Demento, novelty DJ who Weird Al got his start there, is I remember when I first submitted it, I just assumed like, hey, play Mrs. Santa Claus. And they played the 12 Days of Christmas. But those 12 days were really promos. And if you play it as one song, it's very tedious. And it was almost like, yeah, all right, we played it. I'm like, well, you played the wrong track.
Yeah.
I was a big Dr. Demento fan, and we had good stuff there. So I don't know why we never connected with that audience, but we never really did.
I don't even know how to measure the success of the Reduced Shakespeare Company Christmas as either a radio program or as a piece of merchandise, as a CD. But I do know. What?
I do.
Oh, you do? How do you measure it?
Well, we didn't make any money.
So. Yeah, we didn't make any money. Well, we didn't make any money, but that's rarely the... Yeah, we did make any money, and it created no cultural footprint whatsoever.
Although CD kickstarted my business. That started what ended up being DVD Playground. That CD started an entire business for me.
That is also no longer.
Yes, around. Due to personal circumstances, that one went away.
Yeah, but I will say that it did. I think it sparked the idea that we should write a Christmas stage show, and you know, just as Bruce Springsteen, that the movie about Bruce Springsteen now is recording about his recording of Nebraska, which some people love and other people find really boring and serious and tedious and samey. But we couldn't have Born in the USA without Nebraska, right? I don't think we would have the Ultimate Christmas Show abridged without having the Reduced Shakespeare Company Christmas recording. So it was
left into action, and 17 years later, we wrote a Christmas show. Yeah,
was that what it was? 17 years later, yeah.
It was.
See, this is the biggest problem I have with this thing. Is like, oh yeah, remember we did that back in the 2000s? No, we did it in 1995. 30 years ago, the same year that we premiered the Bible, the Complete Word of God. We workshopped and premiered the Bible, the Complete Word of God abridged at the Kennedy Center. I mean, in fact, we were staying at the River Inn, I believe, because I remember distinctly writing the Christmas show, the Christmas CD, in our rooms there at the River Inn in August, when it was hotter than blazes in swampy Washington, D.C. We're writing a Christmas show.
But wasn't it at the workshop? I'm sure there's a different podcast about creating the Bible show, but weren't we workshopping the Bible show at American Repertory Theater in Boston? Isn't that where Connie Blazek saw the Bible show and reached out to us and said, do you want to do a radio thing? And I mean, part of the Bible show, we had the wise men, right? And that's how the Reduced Shakespeare Company Christmas radio show starts. I think because she was from Boston and
we workshopped it in the previous fall in Boston and then premiered it at the Kennedy Center in the summer of 95. And so in that time, Connie Blazek asked us to write the thing. And so then while we were at the Kennedy Center, we were writing the Christmas show. I think that's how it worked. Yeah.
When we talk about 17 years later, too, that you know, people surprisingly weren't that enthusiastic. You had not only the stage show, but even, you know, people we knew were like, don't do Christmas. It's been done to death, you know. And I'm not sure that was great advice because as an artist, it may be done to death, but you're doing your spin on it, your style, your group, and your fans want to hear that. So I think one of the reasons it took us longer is because people were like, nah, what can you really do? And then it was done and they're like, oh, wow, that's pretty good.
Well, and it's been one of our most perennial shows that we do every year, the Ultimate Christmas Show on the Bridge.
Another reason why it took us so long is because there's only about 6 weeks a year where we can tour the show. But it takes just as long to create it. And so to get the money back, we had to kind of find a sweet spot right after we'd made one show to immediately make the Christmas show, because we couldn't normally, we're about 3 years between shows on average. But if we did a regular show, that would be good year round, waited 3 years, did the Christmas, waited three more years, we wouldn't have a show to tour about 10 and a half months out of the year. So we had to find a time to do that as well.
It's a great show. I never had the pleasure of performing it, but it's one of the nice, sweetest, funniest shows. And I happened to see it when I saw it. I've only seen it once or twice, but I was in the audience when you do 12 Days of Christmas or What Are You Thankful For or something like that, and you remember them all. And the woman said, I'm 5 years cancer free. And just it changed the whole. And then I think someone brought wine out at the end of the show for her, one of you through, which is really sweet.
Champagne.
Champagne. Really great show. Really good.
One of my favorites. People say, what's your favorite? And I don't have a favorite, but I'm looking forward. We've got four performances coming up in December up in Oregon and Washington. And I look forward to doing it every year. It puts me in the Christmas spirit. Yeah.
Well, 100%. And what I love about the show is that it feels prior to the William Shakespeare's long lost first play and Comedy of Hamlet, a prequel, it feels the most like an actual play. Instead of a series of blackout sketches, it's about these three guys trying to put on this holiday pageant where nobody else arrives and they have to improvise and come up with their own ways of celebrating Christmas. And it becomes this great exploration of what does Christmas mean to us, and therefore what does it mean to an audience or the people listening. And I think we sort of touched on that in the Rudyard Shakespeare Christmas CD, but that felt much sketchier to me. Does that feel right to you guys?
The CD, as I listened to it, it was yesterday when I was driving, it's very bitty.
Bitty, yeah.
It's like we had lots of funny ideas, and the heart of it is, you know, a little Dickens, the reduced Christmas Carol. Right. But then, and we have kind of the overall thing. Well, we're at the RSE compound and, you know, Sonoma County, the Titchener Ranch. And
that's right.
And so lots of funny stuff, but it sort of connects in a surreal way, which is fine. Right. It's not linear like a play. It's more like, and we're nowhere as good as the Firesign Theater, but it's more like that. We're just kind of jumping around.
Yes.
Yeah, because the Bible show is more like you explained. I think the Bible show probably comes closest to what you just described for Christmas, because the Bible show does take longer parts where what does the Bible mean to us or not mean to us? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the highlights, I don't know if the crescendo's there, but Reed coming out as the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
Giving that deadpan of what this is really about. We still get people saying, gosh, this isn't a really religious show, but boy, you hit it right there for any religion of just, you know, I think it mirrors the Bible in that sense. Whereas the CD, maybe we rush through any kind of journey of what it means to us or that kind of softness that comes in later shows.
Mrs. Santa Claus. Every year the children cheer for Mrs. Santa Claus.
As far as I know, I'm Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This Friday night, December 12th, is the last chance to see the Reduced Shakespeare Company perform in 2025. We'll be performing the ultimate Christmas show abridged at the Capitol Theater in Yakima, Washington. But we have tour dates lined up for 2026 in both the U.S. and the U.K. Sign up for our newsletter or check out the touring page at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Reed Martin and Matt Croak, reminiscing about the creation of our radio show, The Reduced Shakespeare Company Christmas.
I'm glad you brought up the Firesign Theater, Reed, because they were a huge influence, certainly on me, but also on this idea that we could do a specifically audio show. We had done the Reduced Shakespeare radio show for the BBC World Service, and we loved working in this format because you can do different kinds of jokes, you can do different kinds of material, you can have different flights of fancy, you can sort of go anywhere, you're not limited by physics, you know, you can make up any kinds of jokes you wanted. And it's a little bit like the joke of, oh no, I can't possibly go into theater, that's far too risky and low paying a job. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go into the radio. That's what I'm going to do. So it's satisfying artistically, and we loved it. But it's you don't pay the bills by doing radio shows or what's this thing called, podcasts.
Well, I can't be the one who thought of this, but I don't recall somebody else saying it. But many people must have said this. Right now is the golden age of radio, and it's called podcasts.
Yeah.
Right. There's more audio shows being created right now every day than ever in whatever genre you want,
yeah.
You know, fiction, nonfiction, stories, interviews, whatever. Monetizing it is the trick.
And those old time radio shows right now that are being recreated modernly are doing very well in the podcast space and making money.
I love that you're so corporatized, Matt Croak, that you just said in the podcast space, unironically.
Yeah, that's right. When people consume content,
yeah,
they want to maximize their benefit portfolio by then thus intruding on thy said space of.
What's so funny is I heard you do this in rap. How does that go?
He says, if you're in a space and you don't know what to do, do a podcast. How do you get paid on it?
We used to do this in one of our shows. We all of a sudden say to Matt Croak, it was in the America show. We do Q&A.
Yeah, we would get a question from the audience. What about the length? Yeah.
Where did George Washington get his wooden teeth? That's so funny. Matt Croak was doing a rap about that right before we started the show today.
How did that go, Matt?
After I rap before and fail, do you want me to do
it? No, you don't have to do it.
What was fun about that too, though, is that then we were able to really like slow burn it and look and everyone laugh. And then, you know, and then I would come up with, and really all you had to do was rhyme a couple words and it killed. You know?
But I love how you can't do accents, but you could sure do corporate speak. That's really
good. I can do corporate speak.
Getting back to the Christmas show, what was fun to me to listen to it was my Aunt Mildred, which we had, the Martin family had a friend, Mildred Noble, who went to the St. Andrew United Presbyterian Church and needed a place to go at the holidays. And unfortunately for us, it was our house. And she would always write. She loved my parents. She loved our family. And she would always write a very long, boring, celebratory poem. Holiday. And the Martin kids would be going. She opened this bind. Anyway, so that's where Aunt Mildred's, holiday poem came from. Painful holiday memories.
Well, I think that's maybe the biggest tribute of the Christmas CD is that it's a celebration of the holidays that we don't love, we endure.
Yeah. Whereas the stage show is more of a celebration of a holiday or holidays, which are holidays that we love. Yeah. Yes, and the Radio Shakespeare Company Christmas radio show is more like.
And when I it was funny when I started doing Christmas Carol here at the Goodman, and for the last 3 years I was Scrooge. I was the alternate Scrooge. I mean, it's a little bit like playing Hamlet for real. I only know how to do a parody Hamlet. I only knew how to do parody Scrooge, and that voice then.
Barrymore.
Yeah, it's Mr. Potter meets Simon Bar Sinister from Underdog. So I had to be careful not to lean into that on the stage of the Tony-winning Goodman Theater.
Somebody recently on social media, the Christmas radio show came up, and they were saying they, whenever they hear Good King Wenceslas, they think come and buy our Slurpees, but you must not share your straws, or you will
get herpes.
And we're rehearsing Christmas Carol now, and Good King Wenceslas is one of the songs that we sing during one of the transition scenes. And there are people who don't know that song, which I thought it was just everybody knew Good King Wenceslas. But they don't. So if you want to know how Good King Wenceslas really goes, listen to the complete Radio Shakespeare radio show.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. I'll post the full audio of the Reduced Shakespeare Company Christmas as a special podcast episode in a few weeks. Be sure you've smashed that subscribe button, as they say on the YouTubes, so you get it onto your device as soon as it drops. Then send us your Reduced holiday memories via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks as always to Man of a Couple of Voices, Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Alexa Garvin. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to the king of the parody song, Weird Al Yankovic. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 992 2976th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Is it too early to start singing Mrs. Santa Claus?
I think Mrs. Santa Claus, going back, deserves another listen. And I mentioned Dr. Demento before. It's a funny song. I mean, it's on par with The Night That Santa Went Crazy by Weird Al Yankovic. I mean, that's a really good song, too. I mean, Christmas music, I mean, Halloween has exploded over the last 5 years in terms of merchandise and all that. Christmas music, I think with all Apple iTunes and Spotify, has really jumped another level too. It used to be your same 10 standards, which I think why we got a lot of advice of don't do another Christmas album, everyone's done one. But there's a lot of new music coming out, and there's not enough parody. We need to get back to parody again. There needs to be more parody during these times.
The other mildly horrifying part is that there are some jokes in the Reduced Shakespeare Christmas show that we wish we could take back. It was a different time, as the kids say, or as the old people say.
They were funny then, but they certainly aren't now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole different podcast. It really goes back to the Bible show of, you know, nothing was mean-spirited. You didn't know what you were doing was that off mark, and you evolve. And sure, it's easy to look back at 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of the pendulum swinging too far of people saying, well, how dare you? And it's like, well, some of it was just what you did, you know, without knowing better.
I did. That was one of my favorite parts of the SNL 50th celebration. Their in memoriam sequence was all about the sketches that you could never do anymore. And had aged terribly. And it's like, oh, you watch it and you go, oh, shoot, that was funny, but no, you can't do that anymore. And oh, that was not funny.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.